Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey everyone, welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about Route 66.
So grab your motorcycle.
And let's get civical. Everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to Let's Get Civical. I am Lizzie Stewart.
And I am Arden Walentowski.
And this is the last time we're going to see each other before I become a bride, a wife.
Well, that's not true, right? I will see you.
You'll see me the day before.
Right. I guess this is the last time we're recording.
That's true.
Before. You become
this a is wife. The last Let's Get Civical episode before everything changes. Everything's gonna be different from here on.
You're gonna be so different.
I'm gonna be so different.
The next time we record, you're going to be clad in an apron, muffins in tow. Marriage will totally change you.
Yeah. The next time we record, I will have not only gotten married, but I have also gone on my honeymoon. So
yes.
Life's about to change.
Life is about to change.
And I cannot possibly segue this episode because I don't know what we're talking about once again. Arden has kept this episode from me.
It's true.
I mean, now that we had done the Romanovs, I actually have no earthly idea what this could be on.
Yeah. I sat on this one for a while.
Have we talked about doing it?
No.
Okay.
No, this is, I think, a total surprise.
Is it a disaster of any kind? Shipwreck? Fire?
No.
Okay.
No.
What could you have possibly been sitting on? Okay, send it to me. Let's find out what you've been keeping from me for all of these months and months and months. Here we go. Let's see how quick Google is. It's slow, and that's okay. Here it comes.
I am slow. I had all the windows. It's me. It's my computer and all
your tabs. Okay, wait. I think it just came through. Let's see. Oh, that's so nice. Oh, you're going to make me cry.
I was like, obviously. Oh, we have to do this.
That's so rock and roll, man. Makes me so excited. Oh, I guess we got to tell the listeners what I'm freaking out about. So for my honeymoon, Kyle's not invited, for my honeymoon, we are doing a 2-week road trip down Route 66. And today's episode is on Route 66. This is such a good idea. My honeymoon idea and also this episode.
Both great ideas.
I have been watching Route 66 documentaries, YouTube videos, like for months and months and months now.
Of course, I've been
getting a lay of the land. So I'm so excited to talk about that. I feel like the only person I talk to about Route 66 is like Kyle and nobody else. But I have picked up quite a bit of knowledge.
Oh my God. Please fill in the gaps. Like I know.
Do you want to see something?
Yeah.
So this has to do with Route 66. And listeners, you're not going to understand what we're talking about. But for our wedding, and this is a spoiler, you're getting exclusive look into what we're doing. For our table numbers, I can't stand the idea of just doing like a regular anything.
Sure.
So I got from eBay vintage Route 66 postcards and painted table numbers on them.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That's so cute.
So there's like so many.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah, I did. I saw the blue whale when I was doing the research. Yeah.
The blue whale's big. So yeah. I literally just painted the numbers yesterday. So when you arrive at the wedding and you see them, don't look too closely at them because you can tell that they are homemade. but yeah, wait, let me see. I think you're at this table. So you get a classic. This I believe
yes.
is your table. If I remember correctly.
Oh, the me?
Yep.
It's you. My gosh.
I know.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
No, I'm so excited.
I cannot wait for your wedding.
Me either. Today's the first day where my weather app goes all the way to Friday. And
girl.
Showing no rain. It's showing cloudy, which is fine.
That's fine.
But no rain. So I'm just like, please hold. Honestly, the day before Thursday is like sunny, like really nice. And I'm like, if you should just go back one day,
come on.
As long as there's no rain.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah. We can do it.
Anyhow, we digress. So this is our episode on Route 66. I'm so excited. Tell the people what source you pulled from. There's no surprise.
There's no surprise here. It's all just from the National Park Service. They
Love
did
it.
A deep dive. I mean, they really went all in. It is an epic, journalistic, photographic, wordsmith essay on Route 66.
Yeah.
Her history, her rise and fall. It's truly amazing.
All right, well, let's jump in. Let's plan my honeymoon, guys. This is now a production meeting. Here we go.
Yes!
So we're going to talk first about where she is, for those of you who don't know, because I know we've all heard of it because we've all seen the movie Cars, but where actually does she run? And I'll tell you, honey, trust me, I'll tell you. U.S. Highway 66, popularly known as Route 66, embodies a complex, rich history that goes well beyond any chronicle of the road itself. True.
Mm-hmm.
An artery of transportation, an agent of social transformation, and a remnant of America's past, it stretches 2,400 miles across two-thirds of the continent. This is what I've discovered, quick pause, about anybody who writes about Route 66. They do so in such a, like, flowery way.
Yeah.
It's a very romanticized thing.
It's very romanticized. Yeah. It's, like, very beloved.
Yeah. Yeah. The highway winds from the shores of Lake Michigan across the agricultural fields of Illinois. To the rolling hills of the Missouri Ozarks, through the mining towns of Kansas, across Oklahoma, where the woodlands of the east meet the open plains of the west, to the open ranch lands of Texas, the enchanted mesa lands of New Mexico and Arizona, to the Mojave Desert, and finally to the land of milk and honey, the metropolis of Los Angeles and the shores of the Pacific Ocean. So I will put that into layman's terms. It starts in Chicago, there. It goes down through Missouri. So we're actually starting our journey a little bit down. We're starting in St. Louis, Missouri, just to because we can't mm-hmm. do the whole thing. We didn't have enough time to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it goes through Missouri, like just a, it's like just the edge of Kansas, like just a little into Kansas, down into Oklahoma, across the top of Texas, through what's next? Is it Arizona? No, through New Mexico, then Arizona, and then up through California and ends at Los Angeles. So Chicago to Los Angeles is Route 66.
Yeah.
Said much more eloquently by the National Park Service. Spawned by the demands of a rapidly changing America, Route 66 did not follow a traditionally linear course in contrast to the Lincoln, the Dixie, and other highways of its day. Its diagonal route linked hundreds of predominantly rural communities in Illinois, Missouri, Kansas to Chicago, thus enabling farmers to transport grain and produce for redistribution. Okay, we've got a purpose here. This isn't just yes. for vacation. We're getting the vacation. Grains
yes.
where they it was, need
it,
to go.
It started with a purpose. It was about right. moving goods and
yeah.
crops and a whole bunch of things.
Totally. And then people were like, hey, there's a vibe here.
There's a vibe
Get
here.
Get the wife and the kids.
I'm feeling exotic. I'm feeling out westy. This is Hell great. Yeah. yeah.
The diagonal configuration was particularly significant to the trucking industry, which by 1930 rivaled the railroad for preeminence in the American shipping industry. In addition to its abbreviated route between Chicago and the Pacific Coast, Route 66 traversed essentially flat prairie lands and enjoyed a more temperate climate than that of the northern highways, further enhancing its appeals to truckers. Yes, it goes, yeah. it starts quite north, but ends, but then like dips quite south.
Right. Yeah.
It and goes then very goes, southern. And then goes kind of back up. It's like,
yeah.
to me, like, yes, the starting and end point are a diagonal, but it actually makes like a J.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is fun.
Yeah. Because
it means I have to pack for Chicago in October, mm-hmm. but also
Los Angeles.
Amarillo, Texas.
It's so October. True. It's so true. Yeah. 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 Yeah, it was interesting looking at the map because I was like, oh, huh, I've actually, like Caroline and I have actually done some of the starting mm-hmm. cities. Like we didn't, because we haven't gone, we've done parts of the West, but not mm-hmm. the Route 66 part of the West. We've done the northern, like
right.
Montana, upper part of the West. But we've done like St. Louis and Oklahoma City and that part of Route 66.
Right.
I was like, oh, we've done some of the, we haven't done Route 66, but we've done some of those cities.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, I didn't realize really where Route 66 was.
Yeah. I think a lot of, I can't say that. I always thought that it was just like a straight shot across. Like it just
right.
cut the U.S. in half.
Half?
You know, what
Me
is
too.
This? Parallel?
Yeah. A parallel. Yeah.
Yeah.
A flat. Yeah.
So yeah, when the idea came to me and then I actually looked up like what the route was, I was like, oh my God. Okay. Go off. Sure.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Yeah. It also feels right that like during my honeymoon, I'm driving through Texas, you know, just to be like, hey.
Yes, it is very poetic for you.
Very poetic. Returning to the roots, but so it's just the briefest. It's literally just like slicing through the top.
Yep. Right. Cutting right across. So let's talk about how she got her start. Where did we get Route 66?
Where'd she didn't
come just
from?
Magically appear.
No.
Route 66 had its official beginnings in 1926 when the Bureau of Public Roads launched the nation's first federal highway system. Like other highways in the system, the path of Route 66 was cobbled together of existing local, state, and national roads. The highway quickly became a popular route because of the active promotion of the U.S. 66 Highway Association.
Hell yeah.
Which, yeah, they did great. I mean, great work.
I mean, talk great about getting work. Your messaging out there.
Oh, yes. We want you to travel our roadway.
Let's go.
They advertised it as, quote, the shortest, best, and most scenic route from Chicago through St. Louis to Los Angeles. I mean, yeah.
And it's honestly, sure. for the time, it's true.
Sure, because you couldn't go, like, through, I mean, you could, and Caroline and I have done it, but you could go through, like, like the Dakotas and Wyoming and that, but that's really mountainous.
Well, but that's the thing is, I don't think the roads existed in a proper highway. There were obviously roads, but they were all like small roads. And
yes,
to
not
do a
for
long
truckers.
For yeah, not for truckers.
No, no.
So
no.
I think this is one of the first ones that like establishes a long road,
right.
like capital R road.
Road. Right. Yes. Merchants in small and large towns along the highway look to Route 66 as an opportunity for attracting new revenue to their often rural and isolated communities. Yeah, they were like, these people on this road, hello, we have goods to sell.
Hey,
hello,
come get our goods.
Come buy our goods.
Come trade with us. Come get it.
Yep.
Let's talk about it booming, because obviously, honey, as you've seen in the movie Cars,
it boomed
before it became a ghost town.
Uh-huh. It done did boom.
As the highway became busier, the roadbed received improvements, and the infrastructure of support businesses, especially those offering fuel, lodging, and food that lined its right-of-way, expanded. So as we got basically diners, motels, and gas stations, more money was invested into the upkeep of the road. Even with tough times, the Depression that worked its baleful consequences on the nation produced an ironic effect along Route 66.
Uh-huh.
The vast migration of destitute people fleeing their former homes actually increased traffic along the highways, providing commercial opportunities to a multitude of low-capital mom-and-pop businesses. So people are fleeing the dust. People are fleeing, you know, poverty.
Red lines, powdery
existence.
And
as they're fleeing that, they're like, let's stop and get gas
here. Yeah, because we can't flee on hopes alone. We need gas.
World War II caused a marked decline in civilian and tourist traffic, but it stimulated new business along Route 66 when it acted as a military transport corridor, moving troops and supplies from one military reservation to another.
Yeah.
Motels saw an increase in occupancy as families of servicemen stationed at military bases stayed for long stretches. But more significantly, Route 66 facilitated perhaps the single greatest wartime mobilization as thousands of job seekers headed to California, Oregon, and Washington to work in defense plants. So it became just like an artery for World War II of getting things to and fro, people, weapons, manufacturing.
Yep. Families. Yeah.
Families.
Yeah. People just spending money willy-nilly all over Route 66.
Totally. When the war ended, traffic increased as rationing and travel restrictions were lifted. Automobile ownership grew dramatically over the next 10 years, with 52.1 million cars registered in 1955, compared to the 25.8 million at the end of the war. So it basically almost more than doubled. With more cars and less leisure time, families headed west on Route 66 to the Grand Canyon, Disneyland, and the beaches of Southern California. I guess I should also say, like, from what I've seen, the proper way to do Route 66 is Chicago to Los Angeles, but some people mm-hmm. do Los Angeles to Chicago, but it seems like when talking about doing the route, the more traditional way of thinking about it is Chicago east
to
west.
LA.
Yeah.
Got it.
Obviously, you can drive which way you want to. We are driving east to west.
Sure.
With the heavier traffic, businesses along the highway boomed, and the images of Route 66 as the Dust Bowl migration route changed to one of, here we go, freedom and, say it with me, kicks. The bleak image of John Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath faded as the upbeat lyrics of Bobby Troop's Route 66 hit the airwaves.
Yeah, it became like just a different kind of cultural, like...
It's like a groovy vacation.
Yeah. Let's do Route 66. It was, like, hot and sexy.
Yeah. Let's go to a motel.
Yeah.
Let's go to a motel.
Yeah.
The adventures of two young men seeking their kicks in the 1960s television series Route 66 further immortalized Route 66 as a highway of thrills. just as the enormous traffic in the decade after World War II sent Route 66 into a boom time, the popularity and crowding of the highway signaled its demise. What goes up must come down.
Yeah.
In 1956, President Eisenhower, who we have fully talked about this bullet point in a full episode on our highway system.
Yes.
Which is a great episode. Go and listen to it.
Yes. This is a great companion episode to that episode.
Totally.
Because they really overlap.
They really overlap. In 1956, President Eisenhower, who had witnessed the military advantages of the German Autobahn during World War II, supported the passage of a law to construct a new system of high-speed, limited-access, four-lane divided highways, which ended up becoming today's interstates. So yeah. Route 66 is not an interstate. It is
It is a highway.
It is slower. The interstates killed her.
Killed her. It is just a road. They don't inter anything.
And I have to say, it is depicted beautifully and I would say hauntingly in the hit movie Cars. It is. It's so sad, that montage.
Yeah. And also, like, when I mean, I didn't put any of this in here, but, like, if you just Google Route 66, like, the stuff that comes up is, like, you know, top 10 ghost towns to visit and haunted places along the way. Oh, and like, yeah, I was like a little bit jealous. I was like, maybe they want a third companion in the car.
Girl, honey, them get in the Jetta.
On their honeymoon.
You're going.
Oh my God.
I mean, I do wish that, like, I mean, on the one hand, I think it's really great that Kyle and I are getting to experience like a proper road trip like this. I think it's a really unique experience for us as a couple. And in other ways, I'm like, yeah, I kind of wish we were meeting up with people along the way, you know, just to like experience parts of this. Because, yeah, there's like in California, there's like a ghost mining town that obviously we're stopping at. There's, oh my God, there's a museum of barbed wire, and it's the largest private collection of barbed wire in the world. And I know that you and I would shine there. I know that's where we were meant to be.
Oh, yes.
There's all sorts of like quirky places that, you know, I've been researching and being like, oh my God, what a dream. You know what's in St. Louis? You didn't tell me this.
What?
Ulysses S. Grant's house.
Oh, God, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yep.
So there's all sorts of things.
All sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. Along Route 66. Well, that's off the beaten path, but it's in St. Louis.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
It's good stuff. It's really good stuff. Just remember, well, you're not bringing butter, but I was going to say, do not try and take a
cat
up in the St. Louis Arch. I have tried it. They will not let you.
It's so insane to me that you tried it. It doesn't, I can't rationalize who you are with that action.
It really, you know what? I can't either. I think it was just like a,
you were tired.
I saw a dog.
You saw a dog and you were like, that's
the
same.
And I was like, well, that's speciesism.
That's speciesism. Not speciesism.
He's in a bag.
Yeah.
The dog is out. Why can't mouse go?
There's no justice.
There's no justice. I will say, going up, have you been in the St. Louis Arch? I can't remember.
No, I've never been to St. Louis, but we are hopefully going to go to the arch. Oh my God.
It is very, you can skip, like the downstairs part of like, this is how we built the bebop bebop is fine.
Sure. I already know how we built it because we did an episode on it.
We did a whole episode on it. And like the downstairs is fine. And it's just like, you know, 50-year-old like little monument thingies or whatever. But the actual going up in the monument is better than being at the actual top. Like the process of getting up there in these little cars is so, A, kind of frightening, and B, amazing. And just like you get to see the inside of it and you're in these little alien ships. It's really good. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. It is on that, and Ulysses S. Grant's house is on our list for St. Louis.
It
shows the dichotomy of man.
Yes.
Those two things.
Yes. Great. So let's talk about what happened to her. So, ironically, the public lobby for rapid mobility and improved highways that gained Route 66 its enormous popularity in earlier decades also signaled its demise beginning in the mid-1950s. Like Lizzie said, mass support for an interstate highway system of divided highways markedly increased during President Dwight D. Eisenhower's second term in the White House. So Congress responded to Dwight D. Eisenhower's massive love affair with the German Autobahn with a commitment to passing the Federal Aid Highway Act of 1956, which provided a comprehensive financial umbrella to underwrite the cost of the national interstate and defense highway system. This legislation founded Interstate 40 West from Oklahoma City through the Texas Panhandle, New Mexico, northern Arizona, and finally ending in Barstow, California, would replace a major segment of US 66, better known as Route 66.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on.
Come on.
By 1960, each of the states along the original Route 66 spent between $14 and $20 million to construct their portions of the interstate designed to accommodate 1975 traffic projections. By 1970, two equally modern four-lane highways, Interstate 55 between Chicago and St. Louis and Interstate 44, which absorbed the old diagonal section from St. Louis to Oklahoma City, replaced the remaining segments of the original Route 66.
And on portion by portion, we're just adding interstates.
Like, boop, boop, boop.
And it's so funny because it's like some of these interstates are literally like here's Route 66 and right next to it is the interstate. They're like side by side.
Right.
But you can go faster and there's more lanes.
Right. So like why? So on June 26, 1979, the American Association of State Highways and Transportation Officials accepted the recommendation to eliminate the designation of Route 66. The committee noted that U.S. 66 markings no longer served as a through-state guide to tourists, but in fact generated confusion because the route coincided with interstate designations over much of its length. Many of the states along this part of Route 66 pledged to preserve some symbol of the historic highway with signs reading Old US 66.
Yeah. No, they literally, at this time, they completely got rid of it. Like, it wasn't on map. Like, they just were like, you have to take the interstate.
Right.
Like, this road doesn't exist anymore.
It doesn't exist anymore. Poof, gone.
Obviously, that doesn't continue throughout history because I'm going on a honeymoon to visit Route 66.
Yeah.
So let's talk about her in the here and now. The last outdated, poorly maintained vestiges of Route 66 succumbed to the interstate system in October of 1984, when Interstate 40 at Williams, Arizona, replaced the final section of the original road. In 1985, the highway was officially decommissioned, so she's out of office. Soon after, members of the public, private organizations, and local, state, and federal agencies who understood the historic significance of the road began campaigns to preserve and commemorate the highway. As part of these efforts, many historic resources associated with Route 66 have nominated and listed in the National Register of Historic Places. Numerous associations developed to promote travel and preservation of the road. Hold on, I want to pause because there is actually a guy who is credited with like saving Route 66.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Angel Delgadillo. He is quoted as like the guardian angel of Route 66. He was one of like big forces who was like trying to get Route 66 registered as a national historic landmark.
Oh, cool.
He had a barber shop called the Copper Cart along, let me just find, Slegman's. So Slegman is a small town along Route 66 that got cut off. And, you know, his is one of many businesses that like struggled to survive once it was like fully decommissioned. And so he basically started this campaign to get it registered. I'm trying to see when he started, but he retired in 1997. So I can imagine that he started this kind of around the time that it was decommissioned.
Right.
Anyways, I'm kind of butchering the story, but I just want to say Angel Delgadillo is a very important person in this lore of saving Route 66 from complete and utter
forgottenness.
Continuing back to the notes. State agencies worked to mark the road with signs so that the traveling public could remain aware of the route's location. Some states designated Route 66 as a state or national scenic byway. Businesses along the route began catering to tourists who continued to seek out Route 66.
Then in 1990, the United States Congress passed the Route 66 Study Act, recognizing that Route 66 had, quote, become a symbol of the American people's heritage of travel and their legacy of seeking a better life. In accordance with the legislation, the National Park Service, ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding,
conducted the Route 66 Special Resource Study to evaluate the significance of Route 66 in American history and to identify options for its preservation, interpretation, and use. Like honeymoon travel.
Like honeymoon travel.
Great use.
Great use.
This study led to the creation of the National Park Service Route 66 Corridor Preservation Program, which provides financial and technical assistance to individuals, nonprofits, local, state, tribal, and federal agencies, and others to help preserve the most significant and representative historic resources along the route for people to learn from and enjoy. In 2016, a national collaborative nonprofit was formed, known as the Route 66 Road Ahead Partnership. Its mission is to revitalize and sustain Route 66 as a national icon for the benefit of all Route 66 communities, travelers, and businesses and attractions through collaborative partnerships focused on promotion, preservation, research, education, and economic development.
Hell yeah, and honeymoons.
Yeah, yeah, and honeymoons.
And honeymoons.
Economic development and honeymoons.
And, comma, honeymoons.
Honeymoons. Yeah. It's great. This is a great story.
It's a great
this
story.
This is a great story. Like, we had this thing. We built it because we needed a way to get around. We needed goods and services to travel. We needed people to travel. It did really well for us during the war and afterwards. And then we needed a better road because people needed to travel more quickly.
Right.
And then we kind of abandoned it for a little while.
Yeah.
Because we didn't need it anymore. And then people were like, no, come on. We love this thing. Like, let's not just cast it by the wayside. It did good for us. And people are now like, okay, yeah, sure.
Right. Yeah. There's a very American mentality of once something is outgrown its usefulness to tear it down, which is why we don't have many historic buildings in comparison to like any other global country.
Yeah.
So what I like about this story is that, you know, along the way, there was a group of people who realized, no, people of the future are going to want to come back and see this history. Like, this history is important to who we are as a country. And we shouldn't just toss it away because it's, quote unquote, outgrown its usefulness. Its usefulness is a reminder of the past.
Yeah. Can I just also say?
Yes, you can.
It has really good, I'm not going to think of like the literary word because whatever, but really good significance for like a honeymoon, like a parallel for a honeymoon and a marriage and a wedding, like building and the good times and then things get hard. But being there, you can't just abandon.
Because I got an interstate.
Things get better and things change and grow and you get what I'm saying.
Totally. Kyle and I will look at each other for years to come and say, we'll always have Route 66.
Route 66. And when you're yelling at each other, you can be like, remember Route 66.
Remember Route 66.
Remember Route 66.
No, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Thank you for my honeymoon episode.
Of course.
You gave me my wedding episode with the Romanovs last week, my honeymoon episode with Route 66 this week. My. I'm a spoiled little girl.
Yeah. And we did your birthday.
And we did my birthday. It's been a big month.
It's been a big
couple months
year
for
you.
I know. A big year for me. And honestly, I'm tired. I'm really tired. I can't wait to go back to the quiet times of being insignificant.
When all we're covering is fires and.
Exactly. Exactly.
assassinations and shipwrecks.
Yes. But with that said, that is our episode on Route 66. As always, if you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to us. We love you so, so much, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.